Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so we've started. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for the guests, obviously this is a shift pod. For the guests, you hear me? I meant to say for the listeners.
Yes. Listen, you don't know what people are up to today. They're like, where am I?
All the listeners are my guests. So for the listeners, our guest today is Megan Hanley. We're on the Shift podcast. We also have TJ, but he's running a little late. So when he pops in, I'll introduce him properly. But thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what I love about Megan for the listeners, so a lot of listeners are Irish or Irish American, and obviously we've other listeners. I check the map, I see maybe it's an Irish person backpacking through somewhere there, but maybe it's not. But there's definitely other listeners as well, but I think majority, there's a lot of people from Ireland, and you're Irish American.
I am Irish American, and I'm not even kidding. 2 days ago I said to my dad, I go, Dad, I'm doing Katie Boyle's podcast. And I said, you know Katie Boyle? I said, she did one of my live things and my parents watched it. And I said, the album is not about being Irish, but she has a big, you know, fan base in Ireland. She's from Ireland. And I go to my dad, I go, so just in case it comes up, I was like, we all came here after 1916, right? And he goes, no. And I was so embarrassed. And I go, what? He goes, no. And I go, oh, right. And then I was like, oh, I think I thought that because all of my grandparents were born between 1915 and 1917. So yeah. In my head, I was like, then we came here. And he goes, no. He's like, the Hanleys were around the 1890s, somewhere between 1890s, 1905. It was like Hanley, Maguire.
Yeah, your family weren't going to leave in the middle of a rising.
I was like, when was the rising?
Yeah, I think that was like a little before. Yeah. Now all the listeners are going to kill me. I think it was like 1912 or something. Oh my God, I have to Google that now. I'm so embarrassed.
But so we came
1916.
Here. 1916.
Do you know what's so funny? I went to Google that and I typed 1916 rising. I'm like, oh, I was going to. So
So we've been over here for, you know, a little over 100 years. And, you know, we're,
it was fun because I feel like sometimes Irish people will like roll their eyes a little bit about how much like Irish Americans celebrate Irishness, and they're half doing that as a joke because it is actually really nice when you're like, oh, this is so nice to see, because you know, some parts of Ireland, like I grew up in Kildare, which is like a little outside the city, but it's not like, I feel like my brothers and sisters, they grew up in the countryside and they did way more Irishy stuff than I did, let's say. Like, I played Gaelic football, but like they played all of it. They did Irish music, they did the dancing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is nice when you see Irish Americans like still keeping up a lot of the culture. And when I went to your house that time, it was like St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick vomited.
Yes. I was so like, oh my God.
It was great. I love that. It was like a celebration of like, you know, it's like, oh, of our people, whereas like in Ireland nobody really like celebrates St. Patrick's, like they'll go out and drink, but it's not like full-blown decorations like Halloween, whereas here it's like your Halloween.
Oh my gosh, the month of March. So yes, we did a show with St. Patrick's Day. It was an Irish themed show in March. So my family's out on Long Island and the show is on Long Island, so Katie took the train out with Sean Donnelly, and then they're like, is there a bathroom we can use? They're like, you can use it at my parents' house. So of course we're at church. That's what they do every Saturday. They go to church, then they go to dinner together. It's very cute. So they're out, and then you come in and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never had someone here from Ireland in the month of March. Like, it was like It was like, it's borderline tacky, like how much, there's just shamrocks everywhere. Irish eyes are smiling with family in photos. I was like, oh my God.
Your bathroom hand towels had shamrocks on them.
Yes, it's a whole theme where like Valentine's Day ends, my mom's like, put it away, let's break out. Like my dad is one of the founding members of the Nassau County Police Emerald Society Pipe Band, formed in 1974. So they're coming up on their 50th anniversary. I think they're doing a big trip. So it, March is always, it's St. Patrick's season because my dad's in parades every weekend. And that's kind of like just what we grew up around, like going to the parades, going to functions. And with the I've been to Ireland 3 times and 2 out of 3 times were with the pipe band.
Yeah, that's great.
It was so fun.
Did you go when it was the, so we have like every year there's an Irish musical festival called the FLA. Did you go then?
No.
You should do, tell your dad about
incredible.
The FLA.
Okay. Oh my gosh. We got to do that. Yeah. So I think we could partially be responsible for, so we went in 2016 to celebrate the centennial of 1916, and they went with the band. They're going to perform in this parade. We find out once we're over there, they're not like in the main parade. They're in like this other parade, which still existed, but it was a much smaller parade. And we got like such a kick out of that. Talk about the difference of like Ireland and America is that they only shut down half of the street. So the other street had like cars, like the band is playing, but there's clearly like buses
driving
past them. They're like, move along. Is this big? And then once it ended, it was like somebody came to the end. They're like, keep it moving. Yeah. Like there was no like, now we all hang out and like drink. It was like, move it, get off the street, keep going. And we were like, this is pretty hilarious. Yeah. But we went, so it was like Easter of 2016. And that was when you still couldn't drink on Good Friday. Okay. And we didn't know that was a thing. And then we get there and we find this out. But we're staying at this hotel that we find out like the loophole is like if you're at a restaurant, you can like get served like a glass of alcohol. And since we had this huge group with us, we had rented out like a banquet hall at the hotel. So we're having this like big meal. And now again, we don't know what the deal is, that during the day, people like heard about this and went and bought alcohol. So now people are like drunker than ever because we don't know if we can get alcohol. So people were drinking in their rooms and showing up to dinner. Then we start ordering drinks and realize like, we're ordering multiple drinks because we don't know if we only get one round. Yeah. So people are ordering so many drinks. Like, we were all so drunk. And then like this thing was supposed to end maybe at 11, but they let us stay in there until maybe 11:30 again. Cause we were like partying. We did have some, we had music. It was awesome. It was like this whole thing, but we got out of control because everyone was so terrified. We couldn't have a drink, that we drank way too much. And so we come out of this room and then we find out at midnight, they will open the bar cause it's the next day. So we're just in the lobby of the hotel, like all these like drunk Americans, like just like a mess. And we were staying at the same hotel as the Irish national team.
Oh, wow.
So they were playing the Swiss. We had the game on. They won. They come back in the lobby and it's like us.
Wait, it was like the Irish football team?
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like so cool. Like
that is like the best.
It was awesome. Like we found out they were in the hotel and we're like, what? And then me and my sister went and like did things on our own on that Friday. We went to like some local like shops and stuff. And as we're coming back, they were all getting ready to go to the game and they're like lined up, like getting on the bus. And we like were outside applauding and we're like, this is so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So all these professional athletes, like some of the best athletes in the world, start coming back in and we are in the lobby. Like we've taken over the lobby of the hotel. And then as it gets closer to midnight and we did this, it is embarrassing. We counted down. So it's like,
like it's New Year's.
Yes. Yeah, so they're walking
drinkers
in.
Drinkers New Year's.
Yeah, and it's these Americans who are like, 5, 4, 3, 2. And then they open the bar and we all like storm in the bar. And then there's like too many of us to keep up with. But then, you know.
And all the Irish people, they're like, they call us alcoholics.
Yes. Oh my gosh. They're like, oh my gosh, what is
it? It's so funny. As you were saying all this, I was having like flashbacks because I was like, wait, what? We don't drink on Good Friday? And then I'm like, I must have just blacked all of that out because I used to work in, like, as you're saying, I'm like, I used to work in a restaurant and people would stay so they could have drinks on Good Friday. Yeah. I completely forgot that that was a thing.
Right.
I wonder if that's still a thing.
It just got lifted within the past few years. So we were like, oh my gosh,
that's
were we
crazy.
Part of this that we got so out of control?
Like,
they're like, we're losing a lot of money.
They were like, we got to give people booze so they don't be crazy like these Americans.
These Americans were nuts. It was, not our finest moment. And then, of course, these, like, athletes coming in and we're like, wah!
And did they stay and drink with you guys?
Or? Some of them. So they had, like, a private room and some of them came down and then they went to the room. So then, of course, like, we're all drinking. We're like, who's going to get in the room? Like, no, nobody.
Did you get any photos or anything?
No. Like, they were around us so much that it was so cool, but we also didn't want to, you know, impose on them kind of thing. But we looked them up, like, more as it would go on. We were like, then, like, I feel like shortly after, there was some big event going on, and they were on, like, in America when we got home, and we were like, there's James McClane. Like, we just saw James McClane. And we were like, oh, there are our boys. There's our boys.
Yeah. That's so fun.
It was cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I already, you know, what's funny as well, when I meet Irish Americans and I'm like, okay, you're like Irish American. And then there's certain things that make people Irish. I know it's going to sound really silly, but when we did that show that time and you fell and you were laughing your head off,
gosh.
And I was like, she's Irish.
Oh my God.
Because I feel like sometimes people would be embarrassed and get up, but you were like laughing in the street, your legs up in the air. And
gosh.
I was like, yep, she's earned her citizenship.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we did the show. It was this bizarro weather day where it started out warm, got freezing, and then things iced over.
Yeah.
So right outside
and you
of
were
the
wearing
venue,
heels.
I was in heels. In this green dress because it was, you know, the same show. And I wiped, like, I mean, feet in the air, landed somehow in the cushiony part of my butt that I don't know how I didn't get really hurt. And then I was like,
you were laughing your head off. And I was like,
my head off. But internally, I was like, I would have to go to the hospital.
You're like, after this gig.
Yeah, I was like, because my elbow was throbbing a little, but overall, not too much pain. But I was having this thing of like, I guess I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just do this.
Yeah, that was a fun gig. So you just recorded your album.
Yes.
It comes out this week?
Comes out, yes, Tuesday, January 17th.
It's so exciting.
It's so exciting. I'm so excited.
Do you have any bits on it about being Irish?
Yes, I do. So my family ended up being such a big part. I mean, they're such a big part of everything, but especially of the album and like the recording, which is exciting because especially with COVID, we had really been pretty locked down with our family, not even seeing everybody all the time. My family all lived like mostly within a mile of each other, and we still were having outdoor gatherings, or my whole family had not come into the city for anything. So this was like this like big event because we did it last April. And so we were getting ready. I know that they're there and stuff. Reg, you know, from New York Comedy Club. Which I did at New York Comedy Club. Katie just heard hers at New York Comedy Club, which I was there. Katie's, I can't wait. It was so phenomenal. And Reg comes back and he goes, Megan, your mom is in the front row. Which people like that, like comics, you never want your family like right up front. And I looked at him and I go, alone? like, what are you talking? Like, just my mom? Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? And also, he knew it was my mom because my mom worked the room like it was a wedding.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that. She's saying hello to everybody.
Yes.
She's so proud of you, as if it's like she's the mother of the bride.
Yeah. People were texting me and they're like, your mom is like saying hi to everybody. She's working the whole room. And so I was like, who's she like with? And he goes, well, she's with around the stage with like 8 to 10 other people. And I was like, all right, that's like my dad's, my aunts, my uncles. Like, those are like the older like members of our family. And I was like, he goes, what do you want to do? Are you okay with that? And I was like, you know what? If that's where they chose to sit and they're comfortable with it, just leave them there.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Like, that's where they want to be. They want to be there. They want to show support. Yeah. Everyone now already knows them. If I had them moved, it would be You know, and it ended up being great because they became so much a part of it because my aunt's laugh is like, it was so out of control. I had to like stop and address it because she just laughs so loud. And then it became like a running gag throughout the show where I'd have to pause. I'd look at her, you know, and then I was like, my Aunt Kathleen is like the best laugh. And then people would applaud. And then that turned to like a riff on Ireland that I didn't expect. And I was like, this was her like the whole trip to Ireland. I was like, she'd be like kissing the Blarney Stone going like, and my uncle was like, hold on to the bar, Kathleen, just like you did last night. And she's like backwards on the bar, like laughing. And like, so and it also because I talk about them and them laughing so hard at themselves, like I think it let the room know, one, we're okay with this.
Yes.
But also a lot of this stuff is pretty much based on fact, like this happened. And I think it loosened everybody up, which was great. And then my dad got an applause break. Which he just waited. He knew a joke. He waited for his moment. It was a joke about him. And then, like, he got this, like, line in. And the room went crazy. And it was just, like, it just, there's something that happens at the end of the show where, I mean, you won't see it on the album because it's very visual. But I'm doing this, like, joke. And I kind of, like, I'm gyrating a little bit. And, like, as I'm doing it, I, like, realize in my mind, like, my dad is in front of me. And I just, and afterwards, I was like, I was trying to redirect that this way, but there's family here, too.
Yeah, like, you're like, who do I assault with my air movements? Which incest do I direct?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
But it just, it all kind of, it played into it, and I, one, I'm glad I have the album, of course, comedy-wise, I love that I have that, But I just love that I have this from my family. I love that I can hear my mom's laugh on certain jokes. Everything that happened with it, I'm like, we have this as this time capsule of all of us, which I'm like,
So supportive is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that I think initially they were kind of, they've always been supportive but kind of confused by.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, right. Thought this was a phase, you know, like my mom definitely more like, it's what Meg wants to do. Me and my dad have had like hard conversations over the years. And of course, it comes from like our, you know, we're very like stubborn and very like we don't discuss our emotions a lot. Yeah. And I think the more and more has been coming out, especially throughout the pandemic with different things, that I like got this phone call from my dad. And I knew what it was about. Like he was talking about something I should be doing, but it'll be something like about comedy. But then it's always like, and maybe you could work in that office. And I'm like, I'm not. Yeah. Working in the office of Norwegian Cruises.
Yeah.
I performed on their ships. I am a comedian. And then he's like, no, I didn't mean it. And I'm like, when you say that, it's insulting. And then I got like a phone call, like, Meg, that's not how I meant it. I just, you know, and then we ended up having this phone call where I knew that's what he was calling about. But we both, of course, are trying to avoid it. And then I was like, you know, when you say that, it makes me feel like you're not accepting of what I'm doing. And you're not like proud of me and you don't want me to be doing this. And he was like, what are you talking about? I am proud. Trust me. If you didn't think, if I wasn't understanding of this business, you'd know.
Yeah.
And it was like the harshest with it, but
thing.
So like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is what I wanted. Like I wasn't getting like the full, like it was like, I'm yelling at you, letting you know I love you. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Don't you see how supportive I am? Trust me, if I wasn't okay with this, you'd know. And I was like, what is that threat? But it was hilarious.
That is something my dad would say. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is fun having like, especially for you with the album and your family seeing all of the material together, all of the hard work. When I went back to Dublin and did the shows, it was the first time my dad, my brothers and sisters, my stepmom saw like an hour of my material. So it was really nice. I was talking to another comic and they were like, oh, were you nervous with all your family being there? And I was like, no. I was like, this is me being able to be like, this is why I do this.
Right.
Like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
But I had so many jokes about my dad, and my two childhood friends sat in the front row. They were so funny. They're like both like one of them has like a PhD. The other one works for AstraZeneca. And I always feel like the people who are like the smartest are the ones who party the hardest.
Yes.
You know?
So
we met with them before, and they all had like a bottle of wine each, you know, and then we got there and they were having drinks and they were like so much fun. And they were, again, a real like part of it as well, because they became like a conversation throughout, like, oh, I didn't know that happened. But then when I was doing jokes about my dad specifically sat in the back with my stepmom and my brothers and my sister. And every time I did a joke about my dad, my two childhood friends would look around at him. But then he would look back at another guy. So then the whole audience was looking back at this random guy.
Oh,
and he was like, I'm not the dad.
That's so funny.
I know, he's
like,
so quick.
It's so comical within it that it just, it all makes sense. You go, this is why this
Welcome.
Kind of came
Sorry,
to
we had to start because I have it, I have it blocked off. But welcome.
Hello. How are you?
No, it's fine. The trains are literally this whole weekend a disaster.
Yeah.
I know, and that's the one time they should work. Okay, so I'd already said that you were coming. And you just go by TJ on podcast as well. Yeah, so welcome TJ to the shift. Do you know Megan?
Yes.
I'm great. Okay, perfect. And it was fun because I do have a fun Reddit thing to go through. So I was waiting until TJ came to do that. But we were just talking about, so obviously Megan's Irish American and like just Irish families and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
You're welcome. And here's your coffee.
I'm the honorary Irishman here. Right?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's funny because every time I meet you, I think about this, which is it's a small link, but obviously, like TJ, you're from Haiti, right?
Yes.
And when I first moved over here, there's like so many different Irish accents. Like every town has a different accent. So I'll meet Americans here, and they'll be like, "Oh, you don't have like a Irish accent." I'm like, "You just probably weren't where I was from," and they obviously slow down the way I speak as well, so that they understand me, but. The way I would have pronounced my name growing up was Katie.
Okay.
So that's how I don't pronounce my T's usually, and that's my accent would be Katie. So everybody would have called me Katie. And when I first moved over here and I was working in bars, when I would introduce myself to people, I'd be like, oh, I'm Katie. Consistently every time they're like, oh my God, your name's Haiti? Like, you're named after the country? I'd always be like, Katie. But every time I see you, I think of that. You're like triggering me.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Okay, I'll take that.
But so how's your day going, TJ?
Day's been good. I have some shows to prepare for and some stuff to do, but nothing insane, you know? It's a holiday.
And you've been doing, because you've been working on, like, I heard my friend Chansu was talking about it, doing
which
this.
Friend?
Chansu?
Oh, yes.
About doing, you're doing shows at the Cellar, but then putting them up on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's called the Cellar Chronicles, where you basically do stand-up and interview comedians. I don't even think of it as an interview. It's more of a conversation.
And little chats, yeah.
We just talk and find funny stuff. And it doesn't even have to be funny, as long as it's interesting. That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Somebody said it's Oprah for comedians, and I don't know if I was happy or offended by that.
Yeah, that is funny. People say things all the time, especially like when you were talking about your dad, when he was like, you'd know if I were. Like, I find that a lot as well, where people, and especially with Irish people sometimes, where I'm like, is this a compliment or an insult? You know, like my grandma,
right.
My grandmother, she'll, so a lot with like older Irish people, they're still like coming down from the famine. So like that older generation where is in, if they call you fat, that's a compliment. Okay.
Yes.
So, but my grandmother's
similar with Haitians.
Okay. Yeah. So like when I came in, she was like, you look so tin. And I was like, okay, you're too pale. And then she's like looking at my boyfriend like it's his fault. She's like, she's tin. He's like, all right. But so then my brother came in and he's an identical twin. And he was like,
you have an identical twin? That's amazing.
Not my twin.
He's a twin of somebody else. Oh, I thought he was your twin. That would have been cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
He does look exactly like me, but a male version. But he has another male version of him. So brothers who are twins.
Okay.
And he was talking to my grandmother and she was like, oh, hi, Pork. But he's not Pork, he's John. And he goes, no, I'm John. And she goes, you're right, Pork's skinnier. And then he was like kind of offended, but yeah. I was like, I think she was trying to compliment you.
Right.
But also, I don't know. It's like one of those things where it's like, is she insulting everybody or?
Yeah,
I think in those countries, people just want you to eat. If you're eating well, then you're healthy, you're happy. If you're skinny or thin, it's like something has gone wrong. You fucked up along the way.
And my boyfriend's like quite heavier and my grandmother really likes him, but I think she just thinks he's like wealthy.
Is your boyfriend also Irish?
No, he's American.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was funny because when we came back, she like started like bitch about like private stuff about the family and stuff that's not, she's just like not fully there anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And she's like angry and old. And it was like stuff that would be really uncomfortable. And she was like, your boyfriend needs to hear this. And he's like, he does not need to hear this. But in one way, I was like, well, at least she's not asking him what religion he is. let her bitch about the family. Okay?
She's venting.
Yeah, this could be way more awkward.
I've always liked Irish people because I remember like the first non-American group of people I met when I was living here was Irish people because I was on a road trip in California. And we went to a bar and we're hanging out and we met some Irish people from Ireland who were visiting. And then we kind of linked up with them, we're drinking, then we went to the beach and they all got naked and walked into the beach, 60-degree water, like really cold. And they all got in there just having a blast. And I was like, I like these people. I found my tribe. They're just really down to earth.
Yeah.
A lot of repressed feelings and just very crazy.
I'm
down.
I love that. That's so funny because that is like such a, like I'll see, especially people who live in the coast in Ireland, like on Christmas Day, they'll just go out into the freezing cold water.
Yes.
And they just, always want to have, when I went back to Ireland, I was kind of like, you know, everybody goes to New York and we have to like for comedy, of course, live your dream. But what the fuck were we thinking?
I just love the way you said that.
I know.
You're like, of course, live your dream.
Yeah, it's like, what did we do?
I remember doing a show one time for like 8 people that we had to travel to and John Moses is on stage and he goes, who follows their dreams? He goes, do you ever think about a dream? They don't make sense. Like, why are we following them? Dreams don't make sense.
That's so true. But when I was home, it was like, because everybody talks about like New York and I literally hate going out in New York because everything's far away from it. It's busy. Or if you want to go to a quiet place, by the time I make a decision, then I go out in Dublin. Everybody's like friendly. You bump into someone, they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And you're like, oh, it's okay. And automatically you can have a chat. And it's just very warm. And when I was drinking.
Is it because they're all drunk? Could that be the reason?
Well, that was even during the day. So that wasn't even, even just walking down the street. I did notice like how politer people are, but then when we were drinking out on a night out, it was just like the funnest night I've had in a long time. And I was like, oh yeah, there's something about Dublin where everybody just talks. Like, we were doing a silent disco and people were like in with us and my friend was like changing their music and we were all dancing together. And I feel like when I go out in New York, people are like with their group and you don't get that
little cliquish, you know.
yeah
It's like totally like, let's go out tonight and not talk to anybody. You're like, we could have done this at home for a lot cheaper. But like, no, but there's a possibility we might talk to people. Yeah. And it's like, but you won't. You, especially the older you get, you're like, you definitely won't. You're getting together with your friend and you're only hanging out with your friend.
I struggled with that when I first moved over and was single, because in Dublin, you could always get like a smooch. You could always like, you go, there's like a certain time.
Hold on. Hold on. What is a smooch?
Like a kiss. Like all the young Irish listeners have just clicked off because they're like, what is this old slang she just used? I was at home and I didn't realize that my slang is outdated.
So people go out looking for a smooch?
That sounds like, lovely.
You know, like a kiss. Like a at the end of the night. But it's hard to do this here.
That is adorable. That is so cute.
Yeah, you'd always kiss somebody at the end of the night. Like that's when like the lights come on. Everybody's like, okay, who's ready to go? Whereas here, I don't know. It's hard to like go out on the pole, like to go out and get someone. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like, yeah, I don't know. It's just harder. You have to online date. Whereas in Ireland, you can just go to the bar in the city and you'll probably like, meet somebody, you know, have a chat.
Yeah, I think we're worse off with having lost that skill, you know?
Definitely.
The ability to go out and get a smooch, as you
said. Yeah. Bring back the smooch.
Yes.
And wait, so obviously this is like a dating relationship, sex chats too, because sometimes, you know, it's just the chats. It's what's called a shift, which by the way is means a kiss, but not in Ireland anymore, according to my 17-year-old sister. Yeah, that means a kiss, but not for the young ones.
Okay.
It was funny.
I like, but for what age range?
I mean, I guess like mine, but I'm like early, like I'm 32. Right. But my sister's 17 and she was like, no one uses that anymore. I'm like, all right. But then she was also saying Nabel instead of not able. And I was like, this is
Nabel?
Yeah, like, oh, she wasn't able to go. Or wait, I can't even, she wasn't able to go or something. I don't even know how to say it.
Oh, they're basically just combining. So, just laziness. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah. We went to the pub with my brothers, they're 18 and my sister was there, and it was like crazy because you forget how young people drink in Ireland. And my brothers were 18, came up and they were like, oh, we're too old for this place. And me and my boyfriend were like, and I felt like so old, because when I go to the bar there was all these young people and I would just be standing there politely and the bartender would automatically like not serve the young people and turn to me and be like, are you okay? And in one way it was nice, but I was also like, does he think I'm 100?
But no, you're not 100. You're getting shifts and smooches.
Are you married?
No, wait, I'm not. So now I want to go out in Ireland.
You're
single, right?
I'm single, it's so hard to meet people. And I feel like the apps are very difficult for me because it takes me a while to even, I think I have my own anxiety. That's, I feel like, where a lot of it comes from, to get comfortable enough to even like really go out with someone and open myself up to someone. So the dating apps are rough because you don't know if that's really the version of the person. And then you finally meet and you're like, all that energy for this. And then in person, it's just, it's really hard to meet in person. It's tough.
Yeah. It is hard to meet in
person. So I think I have to go to Ireland.
Do men hit on you after comedy shows?
It's been a little bit more lately. They used to never. They used to never hit on me. Even if I felt like a connection at the show, like I'd be like, we're vibing, like from the stage. And then they'd walk out and not even make eye contact with me. Now more
maybe
people,
they were just enjoying your jokes.
Maybe they were. But I'm kind of like, not even a conversation. Like, hey, that was a good moment.
A little bit.
Like, we had a moment. Now I'm getting a little more like, still not direct hitting on, but sometimes people will take my card and like be saying something hitting on me. They're still walking past me, but they're like, is your number on here? Can I get your number? But they keep moving. But I'm getting some more DM slides. Like, none of them are great. Like, they're all sketchy, but like, they're all like where I'm like, this is not how you do this.
Yeah.
They start out the first half as like a compliment to my jokes, but within the same paragraph, it immediately gets like,
okay, I'm interested in this because I have two ladies. What?
Okay.
Would qualify as a good DM from a stranger?
That's what's tough too.
Yeah, what's a good DM? If a guy goes,
it is tough.
Hey, thought you were really funny. Could I get you a drink at some point?
Yeah, I think
that's perfect.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. Simple and direct. Because the problem I run into is people start saying too much, and then they usually say like, I know this is kind of creepy. Once you start saying that, it gets creepy.
Right.
If you were just to slide in and be like, I was at your show last night at Gotham, thought you were hilarious. Would you like to grab a drink sometime?
Yeah.
It's easy to respond to.
Right.
I'm already going to your profile.
Yeah.
I'm checking your profile out. If I like, all right. Okay. I like these pictures. I like to see what I can sort of put together this person's life. They were direct. They asked me out, which is so hard, I feel like, for people to do. Like,
Okay. What are you looking for in the profile?
I guess I would just go through to see.
Do they have friends?
Not a wife.
Not a girlfriend. Are they active? They're messaging me from, if they're messaging, say they're messaging me from Instagram. are they active enough on Instagram? Is this one of those things where they have like five posts or something?
Not their politics.
Does it matter to you if it's public or private? Because when girls DM me if it's private, I kind of don't trust it. I'm like, if you're on Instagram and you're trying to hit on people, you should have something they can see.
That's a good point.
Well, I guess if you follow them and they let you follow, but I did have a guy who didn't let me follow, and I was like, he has a wife.
You have to be able to see.
But I understand some people like to be private just because they post pictures of their family, and actually people like that who'll accept your request, but they are like, they post pictures of their family or something, and I'm like, okay, that's okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe they have like a job, like they're a scientist.
Or even just school teacher. I mean, I have friends that are school teachers, stuff like that, that they go, I don't want the kids finding me kind of thing. So I can't have a public account. I would love, like, if I was looking at someone's profile and they messaged me and I went to their profile and it was them, like, I don't know, hanging out at the national parks, like outside, active lifestyle. Like, if they were able to actually take some cool pictures, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. if I could get a profile from your picture, I'd be like, this person likes the outdoors. They like exercising. Oh, they're at a sporting event. I like sports. Oh, they're at a concert. I like that band. Like,
okay.
I could kind of put together some pieces.
If it was like an Irish guy and he DM'd me, if he had like a picture of him playing like football or something, I'm like, ooh, look at those ties. That would be a tourist trap for me. Okay.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I know, like, I think what you said is perfect. I think the biggest, like, X for a DM, like, don't do this, is when guys try to be funny to a female comedian, because it's never, you know, they try to, like, make a joke or, like, neg you or be like, like, something like, oh, go on a date with me. I'm sure you can't get better. Ha ha ha. Or something like, you know, I've gotten so many of those where I'm like, what in what world do you think this is, like, going to work?
Yeah. Yeah, I had someone message me, and again, it started out, and they weren't even asking me out in this. They just, it started out just as a simple message that they had, hey, you popped up in my feed, and it's so weird because I was just listening to Tuesdays with Stories, and Mark and Joe mentioned you, and now you popped up in my thing, like really great content or something like that. And I was like, oh, this was nice. So I messaged back, and then right away it was like, where do you live? Ugh. And it's like, guys, you can't ask us where we live. That's, I don't know you, and now you're immediately, I'm not telling you.
Yeah. Also, as well, it's like, what, are you not going to want to meet up with me if you're in Bushwick and I'm in Queens?
Right.
Yeah.
So now you're doing a proximity. I didn't know how to say that word.
I will not go 4 miles outside of my home radius. This is my
Which
limit.
Which is also why it's hard to date in New York, because people are like, oh, sorry, you're in Woodlawn, that's long distance.
I mean, I do kind of get that, because sometimes it does feel like long distance. If I have to transfer two trains to get to you, that seems like a lot for a relationship, you know?
It can be. I was dating someone.
Alone. And we're slagging my sister for saying Naples, but it's like, I won't take two trains.
I was dating just someone, and we lived, when we first got together, we were not that many train stops away from each other. You know, it was like one of those things where I was like, oh, this is about like a 25-minute commute. And then I moved to Brooklyn and he was in Manhattan. And that, all of a sudden, it became like, this is all right, further and further. And then eventually he moved to Hoboken. And like, we kind of joked, that was the end of that relationship. We're like, we're crossing state lines and like, this isn't even going that well. Like, we're done. Like,
yeah, it has to go. That's right. It is a great excuse to leave something that's just mediocre.
It's not working.
Yeah, it has to be like, great.
Yeah, yeah.
And are you, you're single now?
No, I have a girlfriend.
Oh, great. This is exciting. Yeah. Hope.
And it's just one train?
Yeah, barely even. Like, yeah, it's a 25-minute walk. I can bike, and it's a 10-minute bike ride. So
that's
the
dream.
That's ideal.
Yeah, it's not a long-distance relationship. You know?
Perfect. What does your girlfriend do?
She works. She's a normal person. She's a, what do we call them? A normie?
Civilian.
Yeah.
Comedians are so funny.
She works in health insurance. She works in, not as a nurse.
She's called
me a few times. Yeah, she's a regular person but she understands my life, so that makes it easy. Because I think that's the hardest thing sometimes about dating regular people as a comedian, which is why comedians kind of end up dating each other all the time, because it's hard to bring somebody into that life.
Yeah.
If they aren't curious about it or aren't willing to like understand it.
Yes.
It's hard as for women, or it's like really hard for women as well, because every single man secretly wants to be a comedian. So when you date a like non-comedian guy, all of a sudden they're like kind of like criticizing or trying to help write your jokes.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
I had a dentist once try to like write my jokes and I was like, dude, I wouldn't even know how to drill tea. I don't, do you know what I mean? But they just think that, all men think
inherently want to be comedians. So they're either like jealous or overhelping, or so at least when you date a comedian, they're kind of like they have more of a respect or something, or they get it.
They get it.
So yeah,
it's a hard thing to find somebody that gets it, and then it's also tough because I can't fault people if you go out with them and they're like, you're a comedian, and they're so interested in you being a comedian, but they still don't know enough about it. And then you're like, this, it almost becomes like a podcast teaching somebody about comedy. Yes. And you're like, this is not an enjoyable date for me because I'm like teaching you about, but I also can't fault you because you don't know any comedians.
Right. It's kind of inherently interesting as a job. So people want to know stuff about it, but then it becomes exhausting to have to explain all the time.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
No. And I found that some of the guys that I've gone out with, just even, you know, like met on a dating app, we've had like a first date. And again, I mentioned right away I'm a comedian because I'm like, let's just get this out of the way so I can deal with, we'll see how this comes back to play kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you find out just people have their own ideas of comedians. And like this one guy seemed like very into that I was a comic. But then again, he was like, so we could be in a situation where, and I'm like, are you pitching things to me? Or like, and then it got like really kind of dirty. And then I think that's the thing too, is guys think I'm talking to a female comic. I can just be dirty up front.
So
and I'm like,
true.
No.
Oh my God, that's so
true. Do you think
true.
It's because they assume if you're a female comedian, you're inherently dirty?
No, all
comedians aren't dirty. Right. So it's kind of interesting that they assume that.
It's so true because even like, let's say with this podcast, it says in the blurb, sex, dating, relationships, and chats. But actually, if you listen to the podcast, the whole podcast started with Dez talking about sex stuff, topics, and laughing that I have no idea about it, and I'm very innocent in it, and it's all like my journey about learning it. But I would get messages from guys being like, so you have a sex date, if you ever want to try some, and like some crazy kink that not to kink shame, but I've never heard of it. And I'm like, why did you go from, I would get like the dirtiest messages, because they just presume. It is a funny, it's like a wild, they do a big jump or whatever. And it's like, also just listen to the podcast. You will see I'm not qualified for your sex.
I think that's what social media does. Because if you think about it, when there was radio, if you heard somebody, whoever was famous, or even if they're not famous, somebody just talk about some crazy shit on Howard Stern about sex or whatever it is. You listen to it, you're like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And then you go about your day. But now, if you listen, you're like, oh, that's crazy, but I know I can contact that person and share my own stuff and see if they maybe want to fuck me and do some crazy shit with me.
Yeah.
We have too much access to people now. Yeah. I don't think it's a good thing.
There's a diehard fan. He's going to listen to this, so you're going to know who you are, and I really appreciate you. And he's like a very sweet man, and he's like, come out to stuff. So he is going to know who he is. So he's comedian, and he's like younger than me. So like he's like 5 years younger, so he's also like more... He's just growing up it's a different world, like growing up as an American to an Irish person. We're like 30 years, like it's funny, we're like really progressive now, but when I grew up, we didn't have like sex education or stuff like that. But anyway, so he's like a little more clued in with stuff, and he's like very sweet and stuff, and talks, he's good with his emotions, and he's very chill. But this listener, who's a sweetheart, but like messaged him like sexual advice, like of what to do to me. There's no reason for that, because like my boyfriend's great. I've never once in the podcast, but I'm like, he didn't mind. And the listener who did it, like, this isn't to like call you out or anything, but if that wasn't a comedian, I feel like a regular guy would be like, what? You know what I mean? Whereas a comedian just kind of like laughed it off and is like, it comes with it. But I think like a regular guy would really struggle with being able to get message like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But hold on, the person that messaged, what's their qualifications? Are they a sex therapist?
No, I think he just has sex with a lot of people.
This is what I think you should do to your girlfriend. It's like, what?
Yeah. Who does that? To send that and go, I've been thinking about this, and you know what? This is what, and like,
I would have never brought this up, but it made me think about how, like, because we just laughed it off, and Leland was like, I don't need the advice, so it's fine. But then I was like, imagine if I was just dating a lawyer. But then I guess if I were, they wouldn't be so much in my, like, whereas Leland's a comedian, so I'll, like, share his stuff, I'll mention his name. So I guess if you are dating, like a health insurance person, you're not going to be like, she's at blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right. But now I have questions. Did your boyfriend try any of those tips, and did they work?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I didn't really read
the
message.
Have you noticed any new moves in the bedroom?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm going to be, I don't know. Now I'm going to be like, thank you, blah, blah, blah. Like, it is fine. But yeah, I think like we are in a world where like, you know, people messaging about sex stuff is fine.
Yes.
And it would be fine to me. But yeah, it's just funny. Like, imagine if I was dating like some
I don't know, like accountant, and he was like, "Am I not eating you out properly?"
Why was this sent to me?
But with this listener, I do know that he's really into like sex education and stuff like that. But have you ever gone out with someone who DM'd you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh my God, yeah. Leland heard me talking about him. He just texted me.
I'm telling you, the phone's down.
I mean, I don't know if it's going out, but you know, just like hooking up and stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay. So just have you not found like I dated three guys who were fans, and then I obviously broke up with them and lost those fans.
Oh,
so I was like, should
they
I should
don't
not
listen to the podcast anymore?
Well, I mean, like I think like two of them I blocked.
They're unable to listen.
I'm trying to think. I know the other one. I don't know if I blocked or what happened with that person. But yeah, it was definitely like, oh, I don't think I should mix these worlds, because they have you. They're like one had like binged the podcasts and was like a fan of my comedy, and then I'm just like, you know, like a regular person outside of this.
Yeah.
So they had me totally built up. They had a totally different version of me in their head. So that was never going to work out. Yeah.
They had the celebrity Katie, and then the real Katie showed up.
And they're like, what is that like famous, that famous song they dated? So what, there's like a famous quote, some famous actress, I don't know.
We don't know.
Never mind. There's something like it's they okay. dated Zelma, okay. but they came
oh,
home
right,
with.
Oh, right, right, right. But they came home with, yeah. Is that like, oh my gosh, yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, you never found it like in, like a negative from it, or just?
Well, I've never fully dated them. I just wanted them to understand that you doing this because you saw me do a thing well, so you want to sleep with me. But we're not dating. You just wanted to hook up with a comedian, and I'm happy to do it because I'm a dude. Like, what else am I gonna do? But I don't want, you know, I don't think I would date somebody who DM me, like, seriously. Well, so far it hasn't happened.
Yeah,
it might, but I just don't think it would work.
It is funny. That's such a great point that you hit on, that it's like they're seeing something. It's like they're getting laugh, and that is like attractive.
Right, right.
Whereas like no one sees an accountant be like, and it's like, I gotta fuck that.
Right. Because we have counter. A strange job. People see us at 150% because we're doing a thing that we work really hard to do. And then it's like obviously kind of glamorous. There's people, and then you look like a superhero because you're on a stage, people are listening to you, and then, you know, you get off and they think you're going to be that same person in your regular life. And it's like, no, that's just not how people work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be at home sometimes watching TV and be a boring person.
Yeah, right. They think you're going to be on all the time. And then they're attracted to the light. So there's like, you know, there's like this, you're on stage, you're like a bright shining light, you're like controlling this whole audience, you're making everybody laugh.
Yes, yes.
And then so after that, they're kind of like, they're like a little dog waiting for the treat again. Yeah. And you're like, nah,
yeah.
I'm done now.
Yeah.
They basically saw Superman, and then they're gonna date Clark Kent.
That's a good one. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, I'm Clark Kent most of the time. Yes. You understand?
So. I know. I fucking hate, like, when I used to work full time at the bar, and like I would never tell regulars I was like about to say audience members, but what are they called? Customers. Ooh. That I was a comedian. But then like a coworker would come in and they'd be like, oh yeah, Katie's comedian. And then they'd be like, they always say the same thing. Oh, she hasn't made us laugh this whole time. Ugh. She hasn't told us a joke. And I'm like, yeah, because that I'm here. My job here is to serve the drinks. You want to, you come to the show later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right.
It's so annoying.
Right. I've had my most awkward experiences like that are like at doctor's office. Not dentist, I guess, because he really can't speak. Eye doctor. Like, again, because it's someone who goes, oh, all of a sudden they see your form and they're getting the same professions all the time. They go, comedian. My most uncomfortable one was I was like 25 years old and I was at a brand new gynecologist, and we're at like, you know, the exam is happening. Very like, yeah, you know, yeah. Things are happening, whatever. And as she's doing the exam, she goes, so you ever played Caroline's?
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, like.
My gynecologist.
Why would you ask? I'm so vulnerable right now. Why would you ask me that?
My gynecologist has asked me, have I used her joke every time I went there?
Oh,
and the thing is,
gosh.
I don't even remember what the joke is anymore. It's one of those like jokes that everybody's already done.
Right.
But each time I'm like, oh no.
No. Yeah.
They want to be a part of your story. They're like, oh, she did my joke. Look at that. Like, you told me that joke while my vagina was in your hand.
Yeah. I was like, I have jokes about you.
Yeah.
Not about the joke you told. Yeah. And I don't think you want to hear the jokes they have about you and telling me my vagina's dead inside. Right.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to write a joke about my gynecologist just ghosted me. Like, she left the practice. I got an email like from the insurance company. Yeah. She's no longer with you. And I'm like, we went through a lot together. Like, what? Huh.
Yeah,
and now I'm trying
crazy.
To like work on this as a bit, but I'm also like, I think on stage when you even just bring up gynecologists, I feel like half the crowd is
so
like
uncomfortable.
And I'm like, trust me, it's a weird topic, but also like, can we just get past that?
Did
I'm
she
still...
leave the profession altogether, or she left
idea.
You? That's crazy.
No, she left like their practice. I don't know where she went to work, but usually when stuff like that happens, they either contact you like I'm leaving
right,
or something.
Right.
I got a message like we had the the virtual thing where the chat so you can respond, and it was literally like I turned 40, so I was going in for my first ever mammogram. She wrote the prescription. I went and got the mammogram and got a response from somebody else, and I'm like midway like.
Yeah.
This was like a key moment, and she was just gone.
I wonder if it's an American thing, though, because I do feel like when in Ireland, which can be good and good and bad, but you always know, like you have like an intimate relationship with your doctor or whatever. So, like, I feel like you would see him walking around the street, you know, you'd be like, okay, you know, you're gonna find out. Whereas I had a dermatologist here, same thing happened, and she was a woman, and this is important because she was a woman,
and she
like cut out moles and shit. Yeah. I go to the dermatologist for this, and then so the next time I go, they never told me, and I don't know if it's do they leave on like a sad note or like an angry note, or was there, because why wouldn't I have even gotten an email that there's a different doctor, and then I go and it's this fucking drop dead gorgeous tall fucking South Asian man, and he is just like the most handsome guy I've ever seen, and I have to like, I hadn't shaved my legs in like 3 months, I was going for acne on my arse, which by the way,
sexy
I was expecting
stuff.
A woman. I had to bend over and show this man my acne arse, and then when I had to show him something on my leg, as I pulled it up, I've never had dry skin in my life, but for some reason dry skin happened and it was like flicking into the air, and he was like, it's time to moisturize, and I was like, time to kill myself.
Yeah, thanks so much.
But the exact same thing happened. And then like, why would you give me this fucking like the most gorgeous man I've ever seen?
So did you get his number? Or no?
No, he's still my dermatologist. So don't listen to this.
Listen.
You know what's funny? He's like, I've never seen him without a face mask, but I just know he's gorgeous.
Sure.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like,
sometimes you know.
I've never seen this part. I hope he takes it off and he's just awful looking here.
Right. Three teeth missing. You know, stuff
that's
like
the
that.
Dream.
Yeah. How have your DMs been?
My DMs,
have you had any successful DM stuff?
No, but I have noticed there have been more, which even though they're not leading in the right place yet, in a way, I feel like maybe that's on the right path to something. Even if it might not be relationship-wise, I feel like as a female comedian, it's a good sign. You go, oh, people are reaching out to me. Guys are like, DMing me.
You're like, I'm getting my first stalkers.
I'm getting some stalkers. Like, there's something, there's some people I've had to block where, again, they start, it's tough. And I guys definitely get this too. I know that girls can be aggressive in the DMs, but I feel like it's tough to sort of figure out that fine line between this person's a fan and I want to be kind to them back. Yeah. But if I give them just a little, and I'm just saying professionally, thank you so much, appreciate it. Some people just see that as the ball to keep rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And again, where they start asking questions that, again, usually pertain to too personal, about like my location, where it's like, I don't really know you and I'm not giving that out.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, and you just, then you do the thing where you just stop responding. And some people really don't get that. Or some people just send me a lot of posts that have nothing to do with anything. But I'm like, I'm not opening them or I'm not responding. Why are you sending me?
It's also fine. They just talk to themselves.
I guess.
Yeah, you just have to let them go. Yeah. I know, though, because I know exactly how you're like, I want to be nice.
Right.
But yeah, you have to just let it go to the... But there is some people that you do talk back to and they're so nice. And then they become like... There was one guy that I did talk back to and we've had like a talking DMing for years. And he came to my special in New York and he came to my hour in Dublin. And brought friends each time.
So he's a genuine fan. He's not trying to get anything from
thank
you.
God. Yeah, he even sent, he was in like a place
that's
in
great.
Canada.
Yeah.
Shout out, Oisin. He was in a place in Canada and it was a hotel called Leland. And he was like, oh, I'd love to send a t-shirt to your boyfriend. And he did. Yeah. And like, do you know what I mean? It's like, he's just genuinely like supportive of comedy. And thank God that worked out that way. So in one way, you're like, there is some people that you're like, I do want to. I have two other guys who came to a show in Boston and both of them, one brought 5 people, the other brought 10 people. And I have chatted to them. And one, he has like a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It's not anything like, he's not like trying to be, but you don't know when you start talking if it's going to be like,
it's so hard to know. It's, once it gets weird, you just got to go hard and then slip and then them into the general.
Yep.
Back general. Into the general. Out of the primary.
Out of the primary.
So what's your okay, so both of you, first you first, what's your best dating advice tip then?
Dating, just, I don't know, in general, I would say best dating advice is, I think, be direct.
Yeah,
I think that's the best thing. Be direct. Don't purposely waste people's time. That I've had, unfortunately, happen many times.
Same, it's a New York thing. They get lonely and they string you along.
Yeah, be direct, be sure of what you want, and don't manipulate people.
Why is there so many manipulators?
Manipulated so many times, and that causes, and people have to, when you're younger, and it doesn't really apply as much, when you're in like your 20s, nobody knows what they're doing. It's just kind of like, maybe people know, maybe they don't. Everyone's just kind of a mess. 30s, you're kind of figuring out, but like when this has happened to me, like I'm 41, and this happened to me when I was like around 37, 38, with someone that I fell for pretty hard and kept saying, like, as it was going on, like, I'm going to get really attached. Like, you kind of have to mean these things because, and I'm someone that usually has a huge wall up. Like, I really have a hard time letting people get close to me. So it's a lot of work for me to let that wall down. The guy doesn't usually know it because I usually play it like I'm very friendly. Everything's great. But it is a lot of like internal work that like, okay, I'm letting down this wall. And then when I start telling you this is a lot for me and you keep upping the game and then you realize, oh, then all of a sudden I'm dropped and it had nothing to do with me. And this was maybe your own ego just trying to get me. And that's where you go, not only is that just terrible to do to someone, but you screwed me up for the next guy I meet. Mm-hmm. Because now the next person that's genuine and that nice to me, I am going to have another wall up going, I don't trust that because this guy just did that. Yeah. So it's like, be honest, be truthful, be respectful, like, of other people, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's like a lot of it.
It's unfortunate because everything you're saying is correct, but unfortunately people who are ran by their ego and are narcissistic and are manipulators, they're not even going to hear this.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
like they're not going to go. They're going to be like, because it's crazy. I've had people manipulate me and I'm like, you have to know.
You have to know.
Like, I know. You must know. And this is way harder. Just be honest, be direct, and be like, yeah, whatever. Okay, I was being a cunt. and that would be way easier instead of being like, no, Tuesday doesn't exist as a day. You're like, no, Tuesday exists.
Do you think people manipulate because they want something, but they can't be honest about the thing they want? So they have to tell you what they think you want to hear, so they can get what they want, and then once they get it, and then their true face reveals itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. I do think as well that for the people like that, there's something, it's all stems back to like childhood attachment issues. So it's like literally down to like whatever fucking relationship you had your parents, and then that wasn't sorted in therapy. You went on to do your friendships and your relationships, and it's all about control. So let's say you have a person who's like, this person will only be with me if I do all of these things, and then this person's like, oh, I would actually just be with you if you were nice to me, but this is too much. And then they're like, still they're trying to manipulate and be like, no, but I wasn't like that. They're all trying to control the situation. Does that make sense? If they actually didn't do any of that, it would probably work out. It's like they push people away. It's very strange. I see it a lot in when my friends are dating people, or just like stories that come in, or like just reading stories online. It's like, God, what? Or in my own, you know, parents, or like, you know, even with my grandmother now, she's like a nice woman, but everything she's doing because she's angry that she's old and frail, and like she's taking it out on my uncles, and it's like, this is a waste of, what is the point? But it's because there's like an element of control, like there's control in being angry and pissing people off and being vindicated, or does that make sense? Instead of just being like, yeah, I'm being a fucking asshole and this is what I really want.
Yeah.
But that has that level of vulnerability, I don't think people can do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it does. It stems from, something that happened childhood wise, and then it becomes a pattern. Whatever kind of pattern they developed at a young age to help them cope. And maybe they knew they did it, maybe they didn't. And it just keeps evolving. And then because of that, whatever that hurt is, they won't let someone get really close to them. So it becomes this, I bring this person to a certain point, then that's all I'm capable of. And they might not even be aware that they're not capable of something past that. They just only know how to get to a certain point.
Right.
It's also,
I don't know.
You fit the narrative. So if as a kid, one of your parents didn't be there for you in the way that you needed, or one of them left, let's say one of them left, and then you ended up in foster care or something, and then you push away those parents, or you have a step
parent who you've pushed and pushed away or something like that, and then you have a relationship and you keep doing this thing where you're going to be like, you don't realize, but you're doing like the most ridiculous, like the most argumentative, the most angry things, and when the person can't put up with that, you're going, see, I'm unlovable. Right. But it's also like, no one can put up with that. You don't need to push people that far. Like, my boyfriend is amazing, but if I were throwing pots and pans at him, yeah, he's going to break up with me, and he fucking should. Like, there's no one who should love you that much. It doesn't make sense. But it's just filling their narrative of like, oh, I'm always abandoned. Oh, I'm always unloved. And it definitely, like, I spoke to a social care worker back at home, a friend of mine who works in, and she was talking about that, like, all these attachment issues we talk about actually stem from child attachment issues. Sure. And it's something, it could be like your parent was like drinking all the time, so didn't change your nappy in time, didn't feed you in time, and so now you've created as a child this thing of like, my needs are not met, then it goes on like that. It's just interesting how
that's very interesting.
Sorry. Yeah. But like, I mean, I had a fucked up relationship with my mother. Go to therapy, it really helps.
Yeah,
because then you go to therapy and you go, why am I being so defensive? This is a me thing.
Yeah. As much as I will sort of get in my mind when I've looked at patterns of relationships, and you kind of go, all right, that's why this happened, that's why that didn't happen. But a lot of it also goes back to, I kept putting myself in that same pattern where, like, yes, the guys might have been acting that way towards me, but that's also somehow something I was seeking out because I thought there was something in me that was less than or undeserving, or I was somehow subconsciously seeking out men that could not commit or could not give me what I needed, but I kept getting in that situation. You go, well, I'm the constant. So I am the pattern. So yeah, I've just been doing like so much work on myself to break
and
that.
And that's the hardest
and
thing.
And it's really hard.
Therapy is trying to recognize patterns and trying to break them.
Yeah.
And recognizing them is easy, but breaking them, oh boy, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's also though, like you can train your brain. So it's okay, you just gotta, if you go to go get defensive, just be like having that conversation in your head. Why am I getting defensive? It's probably because I have this need to prove myself. And just because they said clean the fridge doesn't mean that they haven't noticed that you cleaned the rest of the place, you know? So then you have that conversation, and then you slowly over months start to be able to be like, oh yeah, this doesn't mean this. It's just like training yourself. I do think it can work, but you have to be honest about your fucking faults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever dated anybody like that or had experiences with this?
I was not a big dater. My girlfriend currently is the longest relationship I've had.
How long are you together?
Almost two. So that's how you know. Yeah, I never liked, not that I didn't like them, but I found myself getting bored and I just like, oh, this run its course. I don't want to do this. And some of it I think had to do with my mother because I also have a shitty mom. Yeah. So now that I've found somebody that I like and that likes me and I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel like hard work and I'm not bored, so I'm happy to be in this.
Yeah.
So whenever things got weird, I was like, I'm out. I don't need this. So I would just get out of relationships before it got crazy.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's good in some ways because some people stay around too long. Yeah. But then, especially with this person now, if it gets a little weird, like you have a bump, stay in it, work on it. Okay.
I know. I'm excited for
this. Yeah. One time I was trying to date this girl and before we got into it, she goes, this is not going to work because I'm way too fucked up for you. Ugh. And then me as, you know, my male ego be like, I think I can handle it. Don't worry about it. And then we started dating and I was like, she was right. She was way too fucked up for me. I cannot tell this.
At least she's self-aware, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you dread flag to say that.
Right. You know, my advice would be, I think it's kind of like yours, but it's slightly different in that not only to be honest about what you want, but kind of understand what you want. Because I think sometimes people don't.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it has to do with men versus women because, and I don't want to get in trouble for this, but I think feminism sometimes make women think that they're exactly like men. And I think it's kind of different in very basic ways, not for everybody. I'll give you an example. One time I hooked up with this girl and before we did it, we said that's what we were going to do. And then I went to her place, we did our thing and then finished. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home now. And then she got really sad and she said, I feel like a prostitute. I think you should stay for the night. And then I realized she was sort of lying to herself about what she wanted out of this.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for a guy to just sleep with someone and then go home, be like, oh, I don't need to, I'm not attached to this.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I'm not making a blanket statement, but I think that's harder for women to do. Mm-hmm. You just fuck someone and then you go home and you're fine. Some women do it, but I think most of them don't. It's just not how you guys are wired.
I also think that's such a good, important thing for people to recognize in themselves, because there is, I know girls, and I mean, I only met them here, who would do that. And I was like, I couldn't, I thought I could, but I was lying to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that had to do with, like, and I'm sure internalized misogyny and shame and stuff like that. But I am just like, I like dating. I like falling. Yeah, I like to be comfortable.
Not everybody can be a hoe. You can try to be one if you want, and then you realize that's not me.
I fail.
And I just like a boyfriend. I don't want to be a hoe.
Yeah, and I think you need to know that. And then not try to be like chill, because that is true, where then you people, like, I've had girlfriends like get mad at the guy for like, oh, he didn't call me or whatever, and it's like, yeah, but he did say he was upfront. And I think men who are upfront like that, that's the best, because other men, I've told men like, I don't know, I just hook up, I like, I want to date, and then they'll date me and we'll have sex and we'll be having sex, and then they'll be like, oh no, I'm never looking for a relationship. And I'm like, I'm so mad. Yeah, but I wouldn't get mad, I'll just like leave. But I'm like, what the fuck? Whereas guys who've been like, I just want to hook up. I remember, like, there's actually a comedian who I kissed. After we kissed, he was like, we went on a date, and he was like, you know, I just hook up. So if we do hook up, that's all it'll be. And I was like, you know what? I actually haven't really able to do that. And he was like, okay, cool. And we've been friends since, and we never hooked up. Right. But he didn't lie to me. He didn't like bring me home. And then, you know what I mean? Because we were already friends. So he probably understood that I could have misunderstood that could end up be dating.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like, fair play.
That's,
and now he's like open. He has like multiple girls on the go. He's open with everybody. Don't have these fucking times. He's very successful. But I'm sorry, I kicked you. But yeah, but I mean, that's like a great quality. And I think, just being honest, back to your being direct.
And then that also applies to guys. I think a lot of guys want girlfriends, but they think they want to be playboys and hooking up out there. And then they hook up with a girl and they catch feelings and they don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
You just got to be real with yourself.
Yeah. And let yourself. I think we have to wrap up in a second, but I think for those guys who just want to be playboys and you meet the right girl, just like go with it and date her, and like just think about it as like every week at a time. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be single again. Like, people are always like worrying about this future thing. And it's like, hey, you could be with her for a year or two and maybe you'll get married. But yeah, just enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
Pat, what do we only have a few minutes left, is it? What? How long do we go for?
You're over an hour.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. So firstly, Megan, your album is coming out. What's it called and where to get it?
It's called This Happy, and it is available. It'll be on iTunes. It'll be on Amazon. Just type Megan Hanley into January 17th. So
and
it'll
what's
be,
your Instagram?
Oh, I'm at The Megan Hanley, Megan with an H, The Megan Hanley, and all the info is there. It's The Megan Hanley on all social, actually, all social
media. And if you're an Irish guy, because they're fun and they're good crack, and you want a DM, you know how to DM her now. So
we gave you the blueprint.
Yes, I'd love to go back to
And TJ, it's TJ.
At TJ Stand Up. Easy peasy.
Perfect.
Keep it there. Yeah.
Anything you want people to listen to?
They can, I don't know, if is Prime available in Ireland?
Yeah. Yeah? Amazon Prime, yeah.
Yeah, my special is there. I have a special called January 3rd on Amazon Prime, so they can watch that if they want, and they can DM me. I don't mind, you know.
Just compliments. You have a
up.
Partner. Okay, I love you all. So please sign up to Patreon at patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. And this is exciting because it'll be second. I've had the podcast for like 4 years, but the second one that'll be actually on YouTube. So, and thank you, Pat Shelmaher. I said it wrong last time. Did I say it right this time?
He's not listening.
He's like, get the fuck off. Okay, love you all. And go rate, review. Bye. Okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.